Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
Hi, I'm Elise Tran, and welcome to Dinner for Two, presented by Pop Sugar Australia. As one of the founders of The Daily Edited, I shaped that brand identity. That was a business that went from dining room to the globe, and it happened very incrementally and organically. It was exciting working on everything from product to marketing campaigns to store fit-outs, but it was also exhausting coming up with new ways to market the same core product and constantly come out with newness for the brand. I mean, how many shades of pink are there? I often wonder how amazing creative talents of our time in the consumer goods space keep coming up with new ideas for their businesses. So I thought, who better to talk about this than Anna Patera? Anna owns Suena Communications, Reliquia Collective, which houses a number of brands from Reliquia Jewellery, Ballet Studios, Blanca, and Air Home. Each brand has a unique identity that Anna has created. She is probably one of the most creative women in Australian consumer goods. The brands are distributed through her own channels, as well as David Jones, The Iconic, and internationally through major retailers such as Liberty and Saks Fifth Avenue. The brand is super, super prolific. I mean, I think I've got a lot going on, working on the expansion of LTK into the Asia Pacific region, managing a ton of aspects of In the Roundhouse, from customer service to content, working on some new projects and helping out friends here and there with their businesses. But with Anna, I think I've met my match.
Very sweet, thank you.
It's very true. So, in fact, I've actually never asked you how you got into doing what you do now.
In terms of jewelry making? Yeah.
Well, no. Okay, so you've got this business now that if someone were to meet you today, okay, it's epic, five brands, a services company.
Yeah.
How did you get into this space?
I really started just, I think, like everyone starts in the industry. I was studying a completely unrelated topic at university.
What was that?
I was studying law.
Yep. Same.
Yeah. And then I sort of quickly realized I wasn't really interested in a career in that field and did some deep diving into what I was interested in and decided that perhaps public relations was where I wanted to go.
At what point was that? So were you I was 4 years in. Okay.
Yeah. So I think I knew around the 2 to 4 year mark, but there was sort of that idea, you know, you'd come this far. I'd always thought I would be a lawyer, so I just sort of assumed I should really see this through, but it was becoming increasingly evident that I didn't want to do that as a career. So I started interning at PR agencies.
Yep.
So from there, I got a job at a PR agency and then naively, 2 years later, decided I could do this myself better. Very naive, but that's when I started Suena. Oh
my, yeah. Yeah.
Formerly known as OMG5.
Yes, OMG5. Very catchy. And so that sort of started you in this sort of fashion, consumer goods, you know, marketing, all of that. So how old were you when you started OMG?
I was 24.
Crazy.
Just.
And how did you get like that first client?
I still have no idea how any brand trusted us.
Who was the first client?
The first client was probably a brand called Penny Sage.
Yeah.
We launched with maybe three or four brands. So there was Penny Sage, Brady Chapman, Georgia Alice was one of my very first clients. Mm-hmm. And this was literally in a studio apartment where we had put up a curtain and my mattress was behind the curtain. And so I was living in our showroom. And every time I just remember people would come in, I was deathly afraid if they wanted to use the restroom because all my things were in the bathroom.
When you say we, who was that?
I'm more referring to my now husband because we were both living there together.
Yes. So law student, does some interning in PR firms, gets a job, launches own business, 24.
Yes.
And then you're working with these brands, which are, you know, are quite amazing brands. And then when did you decide that you would make your own brand?
It was sort of 2 to 3 years in. So I really focused on the agency to begin with. We sort of were down the trajectory of just getting more brands, really growing those brands. Georgia Alice and its success at that time was really instrumental for us because she was, you know, she's a great brand, but she had three shirts basically when we first met her. And she really expanded and grew So I see her brand as being really instrumental to our success because I think a lot of people saw what we did with that brand and then came on board. We had a lot of clients from New Zealand as a result of that. Mm-hmm. But then, yeah, 2 to 3 years later, it wasn't really a decision to start my own brand. I just sort of saw the opportunity was there and wanted to leverage that opportunity.
Mm. Reliquia was the first brand that you founded, so to speak, or created.
Yes.
And what was it about? You're seeing like a gap in the market, or was there a passion for jewelry that you had, or like?
It was a really specific passion for jewelry. My background is Portuguese and my grandmother is obsessed with jewelry. Traveling to Portugal as a child, we just had this routine where she would take me through all her jewelry. She has a lot of costume jewelry, a lot of like, you know, fine jewelry, but it wasn't necessarily the value that was of importance to her. Like, it really was a part of her look. She's always drowning in it, layering it. And I've just always seen it and been immersed in it.
Anna's wearing these amazing rings and they're all stacked and stuff. So like it looks really well curated, just for context.
Yeah. I try.
So you wanted to replicate that sort of look?
Yeah, I wanted to replicate that. The aesthetic was very much sort of vintage inspired gold jewelry. And I think today there's a million brands doing that aesthetic, but 7 years ago,
you were definitely the first.
There wasn't.
Yeah.
We do wholesale at our agency as well. So we were selling some jewelry brands and chatting to stores. And this was definitely a new aesthetic that people were sort of just catching on to. Mm. And I remember the spiral hoops, obviously, were our first key style.
Yes, that's an iconic Reliquia style for sure.
We, yes, still produce them, yeah. Still sell them in, you know, numbers. And I'm always so surprised that, you know, everyone that wants these earrings surely has them by now.
No, and you know, there's a lot of people on the planet to buy these consumer goods. And this is why you're the Australian queen of consumer goods, but there's still the world for sure.
There's the world to tackle.
Yeah. So then, you know, that makes sense in terms of how that brand kind of came about. And then is that the same with the other brands? So Blanca, the ready-to-wear, Air Home, the candles and the incenses and things, and Valet Studio, which was, I loved when, you know, because you really hit the whole hair accessories trend so quickly. Are they kind of, you know, how they came about, is that similar or?
I think the brands are so related to my own personal aesthetic and also where I am in life at the time. You know, I didn't launch a homewares brand when I was 21 and living on a mattress. I launched it, you know, in my 30s when I had more of an interest in homewares. I decorated several, you know, homes and spaces myself, and it just seemed really organic and like something I wanted to include as part of the Reliquia Collective world. You know, similarly, Valet, it had such a different aesthetic to Reliquia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's colourful, it's resin, it's really bold. It's still vintage inspired, so I feel like there still is that synergy, but I didn't want to dilute that Reliquia aesthetic.
Yeah.
So that's why I started it as a separate brand, and I think it definitely has a separate customer.
Yeah, so that's interesting because I was going to ask you, the spectrum of your product ideas is hectic. So aesthetically, you felt like they were different, so therefore had to be their own standalone brand. You know, when you're marketing a brand, it's so much work already. And now marketing, say, 5 different brands, to me, my head explodes on that. So you never just thought to just have them as, you know, product tabs.
Sure.
You know?
There are moments where I think perhaps that could have been a good idea. But I, at the time when I'm starting a new brand, there's always a really clear aesthetic behind it that I want to create. And I think I also have the customer in mind all the time. This was really exemplified with Reliquia and Valet. So Reliquia in Australia is by far, you know, my biggest brand. It has the most brand recognition. But internationally, it's 100% Valet.
Oh,
Valet is the brand that got all the major overseas stockists. It's the brand that even on our own online store, it's mostly international customers. So I think that really solidified to me that they are 2 separate brands and they should have been 2 separate brands.
Yeah, you feel like if you put the hair accessories into Reliquia, you wouldn't sell as much potentially.
For sure. Yeah. I think it would have diluted the Reliquia aesthetic and message and it wouldn't have allowed for Valet to sort of grow on its own and succeed as a brand on its own.
That's so interesting. Like I get, you know, to a smaller degree, I mean, of course, the Daily Edited is very different to In the Roundhouse
for
and
sure.
Any future ideas that I have. And so like I really resonate with what you're saying. So, but I just wanted to unpack that more for people, you know, who aren't kind of in the industry.
Yeah, I think if you're not in the industry, it's not as, doesn't make
as much. Because you're just like the logistics and this and the marketing and like how many teams do you have making photos? Which brings me to my point. So many brands, so many images to be created. How many people do we have making images, not just making images, but across those brands?
I think our team at the moment sits at around 15.
That's cute. I mean, those people are so productive.
Very productive. In terms of the imagery making, I'm still very much involved in every single shoot.
Yeah. So you will conceptualize aesthetically one shoot, move to the next. Yeah. You're an ideas woman.
Yeah. I think for me, it's the best part. I get most excited creating this content. Sometimes when I'm on a shoot, I just sort of have this realization that this is probably my favorite part of the job.
Mm.
I really like bringing it to life.
And is it creating the variety of imagery in the same way? Like when I was at the Daily Edited, I actually got really exhausted because I had created a brand aesthetic, right? And then I had to keep making photos day in and day out in that same genre. And I got quite not tired of it because I don't want to sound ungrateful for the great job that I had. But it was like coming up with new ideas all the time on how to present a phone case. You're kind of lucky because you've got all these different brands. You get to create new concepts and stuff. What does that keep you going and things?
That definitely resonates. I think especially with Relikia that I've had the longest, you know,
relationship with.
Yeah, trying to come up with new and innovative ways to present a gold earring. It can be a challenge.
Mm.
But I think because there are the other brands and we often sort of cross-pollinate with our content. So we'll get a model, we'll be shooting Blanca, but obviously the jewelry that she's wearing is Relikia.
Mm-hmm.
I think that allows for some more space.
Freshness and stuff. Yeah,
diversity.
Totally. A bit of breathing room there.
Yes.
These amazingly successful brands that are, you know, have been going global for some time. And I just think it's amazing. For me, I want to know, like, why on earth do you continue with the communications and Sueno and represent other people's brands?
Naturally, my own communications agency does the PR for my own brands.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm makes
sort of
sense.
My own client.
Yeah.
Also, I have a soft spot for the agency because it's where I started almost a decade ago, but I'm still quite passionate about the idea of an agency being a great way to outsource your PR for brands because I think it makes total sense. Small things like sharing a showroom and therefore sharing the cost of a showroom, being able to leverage other brands that are sitting alongside you. I think it just does make sense for external brands. And I'm still passionate about the idea of working with external brands and seeing them grow.
Do you feel that kind of fuels your creativity as well, working with other brands and speaking to other founders and things?
Yeah, I love speaking to other founders and I love hearing their story. A lot of the work that I do now with the communications agency is definitely with my team.
Mm.
I'm not as personally involved, obviously, as I was on day one.
Yes, we can imagine that being the case.
Yes.
Makes sense.
But I still really enjoy sort of guiding the team and trying to be creative even within that space of the communications agency. So I guess it's still just something I believe in and it's still something that I'm enjoying. So
until that ends. So keep doing the things
going.
That are fun.
Yeah.
Makes sense. And so then back to Relikia, I want to say like some crazy stat, like 1 in 5 Australian women own a Relikia earring. But seriously,
I'd love to know.
Yeah, I'd love to know that. But I do think it's that prolific. From me, from my point of view, like with the Daily Edited, I went very hard with marketing, you know, top of funnel, influencer, digital, press, like it was a full marketing machine. And when I look at your business, I'm like, I don't know. I feel like you were able to grow that organically. You know, and I have seen that the brands, you know, have gone into physical retail. Do you feel like you haven't had to do so much marketing and it's more that sort of PR content piece because of your background? Or do you feel like you're running around like a hamster too? Like, I don't, give me a vibe on that.
There's always elements of running around like a hamster. I think that's unavoidable if you own a business. I think perhaps the strategy was just different because I did have my own PR and wholesale agency. I think that wholesale for us played a greater role than it does for other brands that are emerging. The wholesale strategy was sort of from day one a really key aspect.
Yeah, giving your background and stuff.
Yeah, and I think it allowed us to gain awareness and popularity by working with these key retailers as well as our own online store.
Yep.
Obviously, we had our online store from day one because why wouldn't you? It's such low cost to do so. And it's great to have that direct connection with your customer.
Mm.
But wholesale played a really key role.
So when you go to the Relikia Collective homepage, you can still shop across Blanca, Air Home, but it's not the full range.
Exactly. Ah. We've sort of curated it.
So to fit within that home.
Yes.
Yeah, super interesting. So they're still separate brands, but we've also created a department store of brands, which is amazing. And then in terms of like your dreams, Anna is also pregnant. Do you see yourself as eventually having a full offering head to toe?
Yeah, I think that,
you know, that could be the case.
Probably happen eventually. Yeah. Yes.
And now you have a baby.
At the moment, the baby is the brand in the pipeline.
Yeah. No, but as in like children's products.
I know, I've already been so tempted.
Really?
I've just realized how much the brands do reflect my personal journey and personal growth. And even just shopping for baby's clothes at the moment, I'm like,
you don't like anything. You want a mini Blanca shirt?
I think I want to make a mini Blanca shirt.
That makes sense.
Dinner for Two is brought to you by Vista. If you're a small business owner, entrepreneur, or have a creative idea, Vista will help you bring your vision to life. Through their professional design solutions and services and high-quality marketing products, you can build a brand you can be proud of. Visit vistaprint.com.au to start creating.
Okay, so it's not a part of how I thought you worked was potentially because you have, you know, the PR and the comms. I was like, does she spot trends and then make the product? Because we sort of talked about that with Relikia. But really, it's products that suit your personal journey. And is that how you've, largely come about brands and keeping up that creativity?
Yeah, I think spotting trends is almost more of an art than a science. I think it's super intuitive. Mm. And I think it's almost a fictional sort of idea. Like, what is a trend?
Yes,
it's so
totally
different
now
to everyone.
Like, now there are just so many trends. You couldn't say there's one trend. There's all these micro things happening across
exactly
all these platforms.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, who would have thought, you know, 18 months ago that people would want to be wearing oversized shirting in the way that they are wearing it now?
Yeah.
I think I've always just gone with my gut and what I've personally wanted and then been pleasantly surprised that people have picked up on it.
Mm.
But having said that, not everything is
a win. I think it's your personal experience and you're living it, that it must be the case that a few others are living it too. And in your case, thousands of others. So
yeah,
no, that's cool. I love, you know, like I scroll Instagram, I read a lot of materials. I love to look at things and that's how I conceptualize product. Do you, you know, are there books or magazines or things that you love?
I think there is so much inspiration out there. There's so much content and imagery out there. I definitely get into Instagram rabbit holes where I'm just sort of consuming all that imagery. I think travel was a really key component for me. So that's been quite challenging not being able to travel for the last
2 years.
Yeah.
When I travel, I see anything from like a coaster design through to a menu or something. It will inspire me to create something, whether that be a plate design or
what have you. That's so funny because the Air logo, I took a photo of a menu.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to that font, reappropriated that font to be
a brand.
Our logo. Yeah. It just comes
so
from
it
everywhere.
It's holistic travel. So like any from the moment you step on the plane to the food that you get through to going to an exhibition, shopping.
Exactly.
All of that. Yeah.
I mean, even the coloured glasses that we have, you know, in Portugal, it's such a such a thing. It has been historically. There's really old dingy stores that probably no one would even go into, but that because I'm
somewhat of a local.
Yeah. I like go and explore, and that's where that idea came from. It's so important to my process. And so
is there anywhere in Australia that you find going to inspiring?
I find Australia inspiring in different ways. Mm. I've really loved going, probably like everybody else, from Sydney to Byron.
Yeah.
I've gone a lot of times in the last year, not so much necessarily anything aesthetic, but I just like the
vibe,
feeling there. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite brand or one that you, you know, is it the case that you work on everyone equally, each of your children, or is there a favorite child in terms of the brands?
I think maybe like your favorite child, it depends on the day.
Yeah.
Maybe your child's been, one of them has been nicer to you that day and you like them more. So it really changes. I think it's unrealistic to say that I work on them evenly every week, but as they need me, I give them more attention. So at the moment, Blanca is definitely in a phase of high growth and something I'm really excited about. Yeah. So I'd say it's taking a lot of my attention.
Is Blanca a she or a he?
She's a she.
She's a she, yeah.
I actually loved the name as a baby's name, but my husband hated it. So I thought, fine, I'll make it a brand name.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Shortlisted. That's actually really interesting because, you know, naming brands is really hard and that could be a way. Cool.
That's what happened with Blanca.
Love that. You know, so you've created all these successful brands. Have you ever created something and you're like, this didn't really work, we're just going to mothball it, shelve it? Or does everything work in the world of Anna?
No, not everything works. We played with the idea of a little sister brand for Reliquia called Primavera.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
And yeah. Like the iconic, stocked it. Yeah. And I think even David Jones stocked some pieces.
What was the aesthetic of that?
I think that's why it didn't really work, is because I didn't have enough of a clear aesthetic. Mm. It just didn't really land. Resonate. It didn't land.
Yeah.
And I think it didn't land with me personally. And so I just sort of gave that child less attention, and it hasn't really.
And that child got deleted. No, she got moved to the farm.
She got sent away to the farm. She's happy now. She runs around the field.
So yeah, it does happen. I think that's really amazing to take away, because sometimes, you know, you create something and it doesn't land, but you can get back on your feet. And that was before Primavera, was before Blanca.
Yes, before Blanca.
Air even. So, you know, you can get back up, and now Blanca is on this ridiculous trajectory, because I've seen it everywhere.
Yeah, it's been fun to see.
Yeah, I think that's like very comforting for me and everyone else who.
Oh, I'm the biggest advocate of just giving something a go and not procrastinating. So, yeah, if you give it a go and it doesn't work, what's the worst that can really happen? Mm. I mean, obviously, if you've invested a lot and I think to do that sensibly, but.
Mm. Do you ever do collaborations? Would you ever collaborate between the children or with other brands, or would you just make another brand? This is the thing. Like for me, I love a collaboration, because a lot of the time I'm like, oh, I'm never going to make that product, but I'm interested in it. I see cross-pollination here, but I've never seen you do that.
I have tried to do collaborations in the past. I think they've never really hit the mark. And perhaps that's my own fault, because I've never given them the attention that I need to give them. But I'm such a fan of collaborations in general, and it's something I've always encouraged my clients through Sueno to do. I can see them being really successful if the synergy is there and the product that you're doing is right. Where I haven't done them really in any sort of big way, I'm definitely open to them. It just hasn't been something that I've explored properly yet.
Yeah. Or I always think that if you had a collaboration idea, let's say like Reliquia needs a jewellery box.
Yes.
I reckon you would just go and make a jewellery box brand.
For sure.
See, this is the thing, that you're just like, I will create another brand around this product.
Well, and it's just so much easier to do it yourself.
Interesting. Easier to, just make it yourself than work with another team and stuff.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about making sure everyone is happy. Mm. I think if it's like an artistic collaboration, it becomes a really personal process for a lot of people. And so it's tricky to get what you want out of it and keep everyone happy.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, I do think it's a great concept.
Because we're talking about creativity, and it's just so interesting to hear your process. When you're putting together a photo shoot for one or all of the brands, what does your process look like? Or do you just roll up on the day and put stuff on models?
Oh gosh. The photographer that I work with and have worked with for the last 7 years, I mean, he's used to it now, but.
Who is the photographer?
His name is Trainos.
Okay, yes.
He is amazing. We have worked together countless times. He does really beautiful landscapes. He doesn't even do that much fashion, but he is great. And we just have, you know, we can really clearly understand each other, and he puts up with me the day before sending two references for the lighting.
Okay.
And just rocking up on the day.
Okay, so it's as easy as working out which day you're going to shoot, maybe booking a few models and hair and makeup.
Totally, yep.
And
sometimes
then,
not even hair and makeup.
Wow.
Oftentimes.
Okay, cool. And then lighting references. No like composition references or anything like that.
No.
And then you bring a few suitcases of product.
I will pre-style, especially with Blanca.
Yeah.
It's just too much product to not.
Yeah. So that means putting together looks for the clothing, and then with the jewellery, you'll ad hoc
on the day.
On.
It'll be set out on a table.
Mm-hmm.
And then this isn't to say that I haven't thought about it or conceptualized
it.
It is in my head.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I want, and I know when we're getting it.
Yeah.
It just, I'm not the best at putting together mood boards.
What about then for the beautiful still life that I see on the social media of some of the brands? Do you work that out before, or is that just seriously rolling in with a sheet and putting it together? talk to us about that.
Definitely the latter. Or it's me at 6 a.m. with my pregnancy insomnia walking down to the beach, like outside my house, and taking some shots. And all the early morning swimmers looking at me like I'm crazy.
But, yeah, no, that's not at all. I mean, my process is a little bit more structured. I like to write down the products that I need to shoot because otherwise I forget stuff.
Definitely my team will give me a list of products that we need imagery
yes,
for.
Yes.
So, I mean, perhaps there's more structure than I'm giving it credit.
Yeah.
But I think I just really like the lack of structure on the day. I think my days are usually quite structured, and so I like that it can just be an 8-hour or 4-hour, however long the shoot is, period, where I can sort of have a play and see what happens. And I think when they're less structured like that, I usually like the outcome more, strangely enough.
You're just like you are a true creative. So this is no surprise to me.
I just think it's a really enjoyable part of the job for me.
I just love that you were, like, tried to be a lawyer.
Yeah, and it's pretty funny when I think about it. Yes.
Yeah. So the creativity, for sure, is the best part. If someone was to launch a brand, you know, or try to make something, what advice would you want to give them to get started?
I think my advice is always just to get started. I think people can become really obsessed with perfection and wanting to launch it in the perfect way, at the perfect time, with the perfect imagery. And I think it can take so long to launch a brand. I mean, Relicia has been around for almost 8 years, that you're better off just getting started and then learning as you go.
Yeah, I have said that so many times. It's like, just get something
just
out there.
Just do it.
Yeah, totally. Thank you so much, Anna.
Like, pleasure. Thank
loved
you.
That. Like, I just loved getting into the world of Relicia and understanding how this has all come about.
So happy to be here. Love to chat about it.
I just loved chatting to Anna. She is so amazing. So many brands, so many ideas. I guess 3 key takeaways are, if you come up with something and it doesn't work out, like that poor brand Primavera, it's okay, go again. If you want to get started, I totally agree with Anna, just get going, get something out there, it will develop, it will evolve. And in terms of keeping up your creativity, it can be as easy as looking on your phone, or if you're lucky enough to go and travel and, I think, just take in everything like Anna does, from coasters to the colour of the sky to shopping experiences. I think anything that you see that is new can be a source of inspiration. Thanks so much for joining us for Dinner for Two. I'm Elise Tran.